You know, of course, we all know that this is the Christmas season. And, you know, during this season, sometimes there can be great celebrations, and yet sometimes there can be difficulties and problems. You know, and it could be a great Christmas, but it might not necessarily be a successful Christmas. And that's what I want to talk about today. Having a successful Christmas. You know, I remember a time when I was a kid and growing up, and our situation wasn't always the greatest, but I remember that it was always a successful Christmas for me because Dad would be home from traveling all over the world preaching the gospel, and we go to Grandma's house, and she always had something really good to eat. How many remember that? You know, there's a difference between great and successful. You know, you can have great decorations, great food, great presents, great fun, and still it may not be a successful Christmas. Of course, a successful Christmas would include all of these things. But when it comes to success for Christmas, we need to look at other things. Success at Christmas is being with family and friends. Success at Christmas is not what you get, but what you give. Success is honoring Jesus Christ, the greatest gift that ever came to mankind. Let's look in Luke 2, and all of you know this. These scriptures will be read time and time again during this season. Luke 2:1. And it came to pass in those days that the decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone in his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was, while they were there, that the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. This is the moment that Christ came to the earth. This is an event that we celebrate every year at this time. Many people, and it's been called the first Christmas because of the gift that God gave his son. You get in theological arguments over, well, this is not the day. One guy was trying to argue me that. I said, I don't care whether it's the day or not. It's the day that I have set aside to honor his birth. I said, it may not be, but it's the day I'm honoring his birth. That daughter, he didn't have no comeback for that one. Now, the people, there were several people involved in this event. And they would all agree that it was a most extraordinary event. And probably the greatest and most extraordinary event that they would ever have part with the rest of their lives. You got Mary and Joseph. You got the shepherds. You got the wise men who came. Now, we might keep in mind that all of these people that we name faced issues and problems. Joseph and Mary faced a problem. They couldn't get a hotel room. I'm going to say it that way because you understand it better that way. They couldn't get a hotel room. They had to go out and spend the night in the barn with the cows and the sheep and everybody else, donkeys and everybody else. And the shepherds, I mean, they're living out there in a cave outside of Bethlehem. We, back in 1978, I think it was, we took a trip to Israel, and we were in that cave where they think this is where it was, in the field where the sheep were. They don't know for sure, but that's where they think it was. And, you know, it wasn't that great. And, you know, yet we see that it was a successful thing as far as they were concerned, because in spite of all their difficulties, the Messiah had appeared. Now, let's look at some of the things that made this a successful Christmas for these people. Number one, we have to look at Mary. Now, Mary recognized God's plan for her life. And she said in Luke 1:38, "Let it be to me according to your word." Now, the Apostle Paul says this in Galatians 4:4, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as son." Now, I want you to notice, Mary said, "Let it be according to the word." The Apostle Paul says, "At the fullness of time." The New Living Translation says, "But at the right time, he came." The Amplified says, "In God's plan, the proper time had fully come." Evidently then, as we read that from what the apostle is saying here, this means that God brought forth Jesus in a planned time. So, what and how did he plan? I think, now this is me, I don't have no Bible for this, but when the devil stole God's man and Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden and lost his status with God, I think God began to plan at that time a way to restore the man he had created. And when I use the word man, I'm not talking about a male. I'm talking about mankind. We all should understand that. And so there he is. And then he designed the tabernacle in the wilderness. He designed the Mosaic law. None of these seemed to do the job. But then the prophets began to prophesy of the coming Christ. And on this day, or that we just read, is when it came into being. The time he had planned. What we need to keep in mind as we look at this, as God, and you look in his word and read and see some things, you begin to see God as a planner. If you read the word, you see that he plans and events take place. Jesus came, he lived, he died, he was buried, he rose again. He told his disciples, he said, "It's expedient that I go away so the Lord can send another comforter." Or the word paraclete there, the Holy Spirit. So evidently, it was planned. Hello? Or he wouldn't have said it. The birth was planned. The prophets prophesied it. You know, so we need to then understand that God, and remember that God is a planner, and he has a plan for each of our lives. And I believe that if we will keep believing that and following him, like the wise men followed the star, that plan will come into existence in your life. It doesn't necessarily mean, you know, when we start talking about plan of God, some people think it means we're talking about being up here. No, God has a plan for everybody. Sometimes he has a plan for you to be in business. He has a plan for you to, God wants his people in every area of life. So when you hear me talking about God has a plan for you, it does not necessarily be a ministry plan. Now, he does call some people to the ministry. See, we want you to realize and rest assured, if God has brought you this far, he can take you the rest of the way. If he was able to have a solution for every problem that the enemy throwed at him, trying to keep him from the man he created. Remember, that's where the devil started in the first place. He took a third of the angels. They had a coup in heaven, tried to overthrow God, and God kicked him out. Now he goes into the garden and tries to steal the man that God created, but God didn't let that happen either. He bought man back. So if he has, through the ages, has continued to work with his man that he created, mankind that he created, then he can bring us into our destiny. He can put us where he wants us to be. No matter what we face, no matter what problem comes our way, God will make a way. Amen. And I like the old song that the Rhema singers and band used to sing, he'll do it again. And I like to say, if he did it once, he'll do it again. How many of you has he ever done something, delivered you out of problems and different things in your life? Let me see your hands. If he did it once, he'll do it again. Because that's his plan for you. He plans to set you free. You know, God is able to provide a solution in every troubled situation you find yourself in. Part of having a successful Christmas is to keep in mind the plan of God for our lives. Now, here we see these shepherds out in the field. They are embracing the hope that they had from the prophets as they had prophesied the Messiah. Look in Luke 2:8. Now they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were sore, greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them to heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. These shepherds, like I said earlier, they were living in less than ideal conditions. And they weren't anybody important. Actually, they were out there praying. They went unnoticed most of the time. But this common people, that's who God announced the birth to. He didn't announce it to deity. To kingships. He announced it to the common person. When they heard the angels singing, all of a sudden, what they had heard the prophets prophesy, when the angels began to sing and they were told, they said, "This is it." And all of a sudden, this became
and they went to the Bethlehem and they saw him there. This became a very successful Christian for Christmas for them. A successful Christmas is being with Christ, accepting Christ as your personal Savior, living for in Christ Jesus. That's a successful Christmas. For them, they didn't have a whole lot, but now they had Christ. Actually, this shows us that God cares about everybody. He didn't go to the elite first. He didn't actually, and he cares about the down and out. He went to the common man in the middle. And it spreads both directions. Hello? He went to, there we see that the people of Israel had been prophesied that the Messiah would come. They were looking for the Messiah. But they were looking for him wrongly. They weren't looking for him in a spiritual sense. They were looking to him from a natural sense to be delivered from the rule of the Romans. But today, Christ has come. And our hope is that no matter what we're facing this Christmas season, that if we continue to put our hope and our trust in Christ, it will be a successful Christmas season. See, having a successful Christmas involves placing your hope in Christ Jesus and let the other things go. The enemy is always going to bring something into your life. But if you keep your trust in Christ, he will bring you out on the other side. You see, too many times we try to make it happen our way. No, accept Christ and let him do it his way. Luke 2:17 says, "Now when they had seen him, they made it known widely, saying which was told them concerning Christ. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which they were told by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." I want you to notice here that the angel spoke to Mary and she kept her focus on what the angel had said to her. She was carrying the Son of God. The shepherds, they turned their focus to the message that had been given to them. Christ is born. The Messiah is here. Their focus was on the fact. This influenced them to go to Bethlehem to see this. We can learn some lessons here from Mary and the shepherds. We can choose to think about our problem, or we can choose to think about the problem solver. There are many things that Mary could have worried about, but she kept her focus on, I'm doing what God has asked me to do. There are many things that the shepherds could have been concerned about. It doesn't say that they left anybody with the sheep. They could have been concerned about what going to happen to their sheep, but they were more focused on coming to Christ. Sometimes we need to lose our focus on the other things and keep our focus on Christ. He is the answer. Many times we try to work on a problem and make it happen. And when we reach exhausted out of our natural ability, then we go to Christ. It should be the other way around. Go to Christ, focus on Christ first, let him take care of it. But we sometimes want to do it ourselves. That don't work that way. If we're going to be successful and have a successful Christmas, we can't focus on who we can't buy gifts for, or how much we got, or what we don't have, or what we do have. We focus on Christ, the reason for the season. So many times we need to get a hold of the fact, this is the reason for the season is Christ. Yes. All the other stuff, the decorations, the food, the gifts and all, that's just, as we say where I come from, Texas, icing on the cake. That's all the good stuff we get because we focus on Christ. You know, the shepherds could have worried about who's going to take care of the sheep. Hey, sheep can take care of themselves. We're going to Christ. Sometimes we need to get to the point, hey, that'll take care of itself. I'm going to go with God. Come on now. See, we may be facing significant problems today, but we can rejoice because the power of Christ outweighs all of our situations, all of our problems. You know, having a successful Christmas is choosing to think on Christ instead of our situation. Now, we find the wise men, and they did something else. In Matthew 2, let's read that. Matthew 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east, came to Jerusalem saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod went, and he had secretly called the wise men to... When he had secretly called the wise men, he determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them into Bethlehem and said, go search carefully for the young child. And when you found him, bring back word to me that I might come and worship him. When they heard the king, they departed. Behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceeding great. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary and his mother and fell down to worship him. And when they had opened their treasure, they presented to him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, I wanted you to notice, it said the star was still there, and they followed the star. And it came, when the star came into the house, to the house, star didn't take on a stable. Now, we have incorporated the wise men coming to the stable. No, they didn't come to the stable. It was a while before they got there. See, they didn't come to the stable in Bethlehem, but they came to Christ bearing gifts. They were not focused on their self. They were focused on giving something. Now, the gifts they gave to Jesus, now we think about this for a minute, they were very expensive gifts in that day and age. If you go study it, you'll find out. Perhaps that gift provided for the welfare of Jesus and his Mary and Joseph as they were exiled down in Egypt. Because if you'll remember, the wise men didn't go back and tell Herod anything. But he put a decree out and he had all the male babies killed from 2 years of age or under. We know that according to the Bible and then according to what we can gather from some historical documents and some chronological dating, that Jesus was at least 2 years old or maybe one and a half, somewhere in there at this particular time when the wise men came. You know, and these gifts were very, very, they were very expensive. Now, I want you to notice something here. It was announced to the common man, but the king, these wise men were considered kings. They saw the star. It was announced to them. They came with gifts. But all of them came to worship Jesus. And that's the point we need to get across. These gifts made it possible for Christ and his family, Jesus, maybe to live. I don't know. It doesn't say what they did with these gifts. All we know, and when you do study, the three gifts they gave were expensive gifts for that day. Very expensive gifts. You know, this shows us the value of thinking about giving instead of receiving. I don't know who said this. It's anonymous. But the most miserable and unhappiest people during the Christmas season are those who are only focused on themselves. We give gifts to others, especially if they're in need, because that's what the Word of God tells us to do. That's what we try to do here. You try to do. We all do it to death. Have you ever noticed that there is a joy in giving something to somebody else? There is a satisfaction that comes when you give. So now we should take up the cause to take the greatest gift that has ever been given to mankind, Jesus Christ, to those that have never accepted him before. If you want to have a successful Christmas, then take Jesus to somebody and lead them to Christ. That'll be the most successful Christmas you can have. Oh, thank God for all of, we'll have great Christmases with the food and the gifts and so forth. We thank God for that. That's a great Christmas. But a successful Christmas is to take the message of Jesus to those that have not accepted it yet. That is a successful Christmas. Today, I've simply shared with you a few thoughts that have come to me. If you're going through difficulty today, remember Jesus is the answer. If you're facing problems that nobody else knows about, Jesus does. You may be hurting, you may be depressed. I don't care what your situation is. He wants to minister to you today. And you will have a successful Christmas. Bow your heads, please. Today, if you're one of those that's going through difficulty, you're facing problems that no one else knows about. You may be hurting or depressed. I want to pray for you. I want you to raise your hand wherever you are in this audience. Just raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. But if you want me to pray for you because you're facing these difficulties in your life, raise your hand wherever you're at. Just raise your hand. Be honest. God's speaking to people. He wants to minister to you. Heavenly Father, you see these that have raised their hands. You know their heart. You know their hurt. You know their situation. You know their difficulty. I thank you now that they will have a successful Christmas because you will minister to them. If they're alone, you'll send somebody to be with them. If they're depressed, you'll send somebody to minister to them and lift them out of their depression. Whatever their situation is, whatever their difficulty is, Heavenly Father, I thank you now that you're touching them and you're leading them into a successful Christmas. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now everybody lift your hands and thank God because we are going to have a successful Christmas because we're going to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. We're going to keep what is really the reason for the season, the focus of our entire Christmas season. heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're in this place and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you know what it is to serve God, but you know you're just not where you're supposed to be and you need to rededicate your life. Anybody on any one of those invitations, upstairs, downstairs, let me see your hand in this place. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you right now. You need Christ. You need to rededicate your life. If you're going to have a successful Christmas, you need to accept Christ. That's what I've been talking about the whole time. Art, you need to rededicate your life. Anybody anywhere in the room? I feel in my heart that there's some of you that are watching that are in that rededication mode. You need to rededicate your life. I'm going to pray a prayer for you. If you just reach your hand toward that screen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for those that are reaching their hand toward the screen where they're watching me right now. Father, I thank you that you'll come into their life and I pray that you will restore their lives to what it used to be when they were walking fully with you. They have walked away and they need to come back in. I thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if you, that was you and we prayed with you to rededicate your life, I want you to get on your computer and go to partnerservice@rhema.org and tell us about it. Okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. In this congregation, let's thank God that we're all where we're supposed to be with God. Father, I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody stand, please. Praise the Lord. Anybody get anything out of what I said today? You see, our focus has to be on the reason for the season. Amen. All right. Praise God. Praise God. Connection team, go find our first time guests and take them to the connection room so they can get that gift that we're talking about. If you're looking for a church home, just come on, be with us. Come on, be with us. All right. There's today's total on rhema.tv. We had 1,716 tuned in. Facebook Live, I don't know. It don't give the total there. Oh, Facebook Live, we had a total of 835 people with us. That's besides all of us. Hey, we welcome all you out there in the e-church. We thank you for being with us. Amen. God bless. Hey, staff is going to the different aisles to shake hands with you as you leave today. Remember tonight, 6 o'clock right here. Come believing, come expecting. Wednesday night, Hour of Power. Be here. Hey, we need people to help in the park with donations. Go sign up out there. All right. Remember the holiday schedule. We'll see you tonight. They're going to sing a chorus. Let me get down that aisle so I can shake hands with you as you go out. God bless.